So the last, actually, Pastor Rod mentioned it last week, and I talked about it for 2 weeks. We've kind of been talking about two things simultaneously that I want to tie together. We've been talking about prosperity and tension. I should probably switch mics. You want to switch mics? I'm going to do it anyway. I just switched mics. There we go. This one's better. So prosperity and tension. How many love tension in your home? How many thrive in tension? You're like, I just love tension. Nobody? I actually hope after this service, you may actually acknowledge tension as a good thing. So turn to your neighbor and say, is it possible that tension is a good thing? Okay, let's just pray for a second. Father God, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for how good you are. Man, it's amazing to look around and see little babies. Because there was a time when we didn't have any babies in the house. That's God's goodness. Like, they're all over the place now. Watch the coffee. Putting stuff in the coffee. But Father God, we thank you for life. God, we thank you for life. Lord, we thank you that you can change situations. You can come in and breathe on situations. And we just bless you today. We just thank you today. We honor you today. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. All right, turn to 1 John, or maybe 3 John. But turn to the back of the Bible where John is. How many brought your Bibles? Oh, boy. Serious? Either you just didn't cheer or you're busy. Well, you can turn and cheer at the same time. Listen, mighty ones come prepared to bring their Bibles and they're ready. How many have a notepad today? Come on. There we go. 3 John. This scripture we started with a couple weeks ago. 3 John verse 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." That is a good word right there. "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." By the way, that word prosper means to prosper. There's no other, you know, it actually means to go on a journey of prosperity and excellence. So how many would love to be on a journey of prosperity and excellence? How many would like your whole life to be prosperous? Your health to be prosperous, your marriage to be prosperous, your family dynamics and relationships to be prosperous. How many would like your workplace to be prosperous? Yeah. And so here John's writing and he says this. This is what I pray. I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. I love that. Be in health just as your soul prospers. Now turn to John 10:10. So just flip over to the book of John. We'll read it out of the New King James, and then I'll read it out of the Passion Translation. We've read this many times, but I love it. We just got to keep reading it. John 10:10. When you're there, say there. All right. John 10:10 says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Let's say abundantly together. Abundantly. All right. The Passion Translation says, "I am the gateway." I love that. I am the gateway. "To enter through me is to experience life, freedom, and satisfaction. A thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow." Thank you, Lord. Ooh, that's good. Amen. You know, there's no way that a thief breaks into your house and at the same time when he's stealing and destroying your house, wondering how he can bless you. You know, he doesn't come in and do the dishes while he steals your TV. You know, well, I'm just going to take some stuff from him, but I really want them to feel comfortable while I do it and do the dishes. So John is clearly writing that there is a distinction between the devil and between God. between the devil and Jesus, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I've come to give life. And I love the fact that he's not, remember we talked about there's no middle ground. He's like, I want to give you life and life abundantly. That's what he wants to do for us. And I love that. So lately, as we've been talking about tension, I think it was last week or maybe a few days before, the Lord put another word on my heart that I've been really, it's actually become, anybody have a word for 2019? We used to kind of corporately do that, but anybody pick a word for 2019? Change, all right? Clarity. Joy. Joy. Woo. What's that? Fun. How many want Connie's word, fun? Can we share your word? All right. I think for 2019, we need a party in here. We're trying to get there today. And we have an amplified version. John 10:10. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and to have its abundance to the full till it overflows. Were you looking at the word enjoy? Yes. Oh my gosh, did you know we're supposed to enjoy life? I know. I'll tell you, though, the most of the world believes that if you become a Christian, you don't enjoy life anymore. Come on, I'm serious. That's true. Most people believe if I become a Christian, there goes my life. No more fun. We should actually be the most fun people in the world. But there's a lot of Christians I don't even want to personally be around because they're not fun. We should be fun, though, because the word promises that we can enjoy life. Any other words? Quickly, any other words?
Intentional.
Mindful. Mindful. That's two words, Joy. You just don't put the space in? Unhindered building? Unhindered building without the space. She made it one word. Is that even legal? Can we do like a whole sentence and just leave out the spaces? Hashtag. So we can do it. Hashtag a long sentence. Anyway, any other words? Impact. Awesome. Four? Because you want to golf? All right. Claude, have you ever thought about sitting at the back? So the word that I've been really praying about for this year is capacity. How many want a greater capacity in your life? Greater capacity to love. Anybody want a greater capacity to love? Oh my goodness. Sometimes I realize my capacity is not where it should be. And again, I always want to honor the Lazarus downtown, Erica, you know, Windsor Life Center, because the capacity that they have to love broken people to health is beautiful. Actually, let's do this. If you work at the Windsor Life Center or Lazarus in any capacity, Stepping Stones, please stand. If you go downtown on the streets, that's part of Lazarus. Let's just honor them. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, sometimes we have a lot of ministries, new people come in and don't even know that we have those. Lazarus is downtown. We have Stepping Stones that's part of Lazarus. We have Windsor Life Center that's not directly related to us, but Linda and Erica both work there. And we also, it's part of our funding we give for ministries. So, but I want to have a greater capacity to love. I want to have a greater capacity to give. Anybody else? I want a greater capacity to, somebody said mindful. Who said mindful? Was that, anybody want a greater capacity to be mindful in situations? You know, stop and smell the roses is a real thing. You know, you could pass by something and sometimes you just have to stop and be mindful. Like when I was praying, I all of a sudden became mindful of babies in the room. And it's so easy to pass over the fact that there were a time where we were having miscarriage after miscarriage. And it's like in 1 second, the Lord reminded me, look at my goodness in the room. Yeah, that's awesome. It's awesome. Awesome. So let me give you a few definitions. Abundance means to over and above more than is necessary. Gosh, I would like my finances to be more than is necessary. Anybody else? My love, my communication. No, communication more than is necessary can be dangerous. All right. To prosper, I already said, is to grant a prosperous and expeditious journey. Capacity means the ability to receive or contain. So I want my ability to receive or contain to expand in 2019. And actually, I believe that he's asking us as a house to expand our capacity. So on Friday night, we opened our doors and expanded our capacity to the best of our ability. And I think we were almost full for the whole time. Isn't that beautiful? Now, that means that if we're going to expand our capacity, we got to get ready for the next time to get the word out. 55 people went through the prophetic rooms. It was amazing. We went out to get ready for worship, and I went to go use the washroom. And as I walked out, the foyer was full of people signing up. What an incredible, like, think about that for a minute. 55 people plus the healing rooms, 20-something people. They had to get more. So that's, like, think about that. People are coming in because they need a touch from God. And I want to say this, it's because you invited them. Did you know that's the key? So I both publicly and through Facebook invited people to invite people both for the House of Hope and for our youth conference. Well, for the first year, we probably have hit this, but not this early. We can't take any more in housing this year. Like, we're packed out for people to bill it. That's awesome. So the Lord's asking us to expand our capacity. So what does that have to do with tension? So maybe I could get... Perfect. Michael, you got something you're doing right now? All right, just unfold that for me over here. Any tightrope walkers here? All right, Pastor Rod, get on up. Okay. Now, you can stop there. So we can hold this. Just hold it with two hands, Mike. Anybody want to do some tightrope walking with this? No? How come? It won't hold? Now, what am I doing right now to make it tight? Tension. It's pretty simple. We talked about a tension bridge. Now, in order for this to get tight, to be able to tightrope walk, we got to put a lot of tension on it. And we could. This thing stretches pretty good. Anybody still want to walk? Oh. Now, how many realize the capacity for this to hold anything was very minimal? Right? We could just put that there. Pastor Claude, would you mind with Mike getting that rope out? You're not done, Mike. Nice try. Okay. Pastor Rod, you ready? We can put it up to the stand. He is ready. All right. All right, so here we have a rope for those that are listening on our podcast. It's a pretty decent sized rope. What's that, about a half inch? How many would feel like if you could put this between two poles and create enough tension, the chances of you actually maybe tightrope walking on this is possible? I think there's a little more of a possibility, so you guys probably can't get it anymore. But they are producing a lot of tension. Now, Michael, just let it go a little bit. Just kind of like, we understand that when you, it doesn't matter if he keeps pulling. If he lets go, we lose the tension. Now, pull it tight. Let's see what we could do here. Megan? My wife's pointing to Megan. I don't want her. Caleb, just go take Mike's spot for a second. Thank you. Pastor Rod, can you take Claude's spot for a second? Wrap it around, kind of, yep. Just now, if this is a tug of war, one hand. Pretty confident there. Even if Caleb leans back, how many believe that Pastor Rod, if he leans back, Caleb's going? Should we try it? So what I'm talking about is an unbalanced tension, isn't there? Okay, that's good. You can just leave it down. So why on earth am I talking about tension? Because the Bible is full of tension. And we're alive today in a time when we actually flee tension. We try to find the most comfortable way possible. And there are times where there is no way around the fact that you're gonna have tension. But here's my point today, and I'm gonna work from it. If you wanna grow your capacity, you gotta be willing to live within the tension. There is no other way to grow your capacity without being willing to live within tension. Okay, so turn to Proverbs for a second. I'm gonna just begin to show you, get ready in Proverbs. Let me talk about a few natural things with tension. How many realize that, I'm gonna go off my notes so I can do this well. Okay, here's one. How many realize that there is tension between rest and work? Right? How many sometimes battle the side of work because you love to rest? Anybody? This is where honesty comes in today. Anybody? Sure we do. Does anybody actually battle sometimes the opposite, where work gets in the way of rest? I think both happen. So picture in this reality that, you know, one side being more tense than the other, and it causes an imbalance. Or Caleb, or it was Mike that kind of let his side down. Sometimes we let a side down and we go over to this side and we have too much of one thing, right? How many in rest you like to binge watch Netflix? Those are the awkward laughs, like, ha, 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 ha. Anybody want to admit a full season, 10 episodes in one day? Anybody? The kids would. See, Angela, thank you. Sometimes our rest can overtake our work. Here's another one. This is kind of borderline on the supernatural side too, but how many know that if you are sick, you need and want a supernatural healing? Right? Okay. How many also realize, so let's put that on that side, that you can create environments in your body that cause you to be sick? I don't know if I ever told you, Chris Valentin had, I believe it was 2 or 3 friends that got supernaturally healed of cancer, only to a few years later develop the same cancer again and die. I think 2 out of 3 died. And it just so bothered him. He began to seek the Lord, and the Lord began to show him that unless we take care of the environment, because you can get diseases from the environment that's inside of you, and you can get healed but still have the environment that's going to create it again. So there's this tension between wanting to get healed so you could go on antibiotics and all that, or supernaturally healed, but sometimes you got to change the lifestyle, right? So if you have a heart attack because you're not eating healthy, if you come out and do the same thing again, you're just playing with your life. That's tension. Like, it's great for the medicine, but you also have to have a good environment. Let me give you a few more here. Brilliant. How many are brilliant in here? You should all be raising your hands. Come on. Have you ever had a highly intelligent person connect with a really highly creative person? It's not that the creative person is not highly intelligent, but they drive each other crazy. Let me give you another analogy. How many are I personalities in here? If you've done the DISC test, you're an I personality. You're the fun. Woo, party, let's party all the time. Raise your hand. Where's Linda? Did you just, Pastor Rod's like, where's Linda? Yeah, Linda's a high I. Julie Welch is a high I. Pascal. Like, we only have, what, 4 I's in here? Oh boy, we got to change that. But that will have a whole different... Woo! All right, so raise them again. Okay. Now, eyes are in one side of the category. They are people-oriented and active-oriented. Now, how many are C's in here? You actually know you're a C. Sean's a C. C is conscientious. C is the numbers. C is all about calculations. So raise your hand if you're a C. Yeah. C's are often accountants. My wife's a C. Another one would be an S. S's are steadfast. They're like loyal. They're the loyal dog. They're like, not that they're dogs, but they're loyal to the end. If you offend them, you are really doing, like, you have to work hard to offend an S because they're so loyal. If you're an S, raise your hand. All right. Have you ever realized if you put an I and a C or an S in a room and you ask them to lead, it can get really weird. Actually, we have two that are married right here. Tim and Linda. Do you guys ever see things from very different perspectives? Always. If you want an adventure, go with Tim to the airport. Go with Tim to Florida, even better. See, I'll give you an example of C. We got to Florida, and Linda and I are very much the same, and Tim and Krista are very much the same. We're kind of like, Linda and I are go lucky. Let's just go have fun. Tim gets there, he's got the whole day mapped out. We're running from event to event because he's got it timed out, because if we get here with the fast pass, we can get two rides in, and we're, Linda and I are just like, let's just have fun. But you know what? That can create tension, can't it? Oh, yes, it can. A lot of tension because you see things very differently. All right, Proverbs 10. Did I tell you to go there, right? I said Proverbs. How many actually were prophetic and found where I was going? Proverbs 10. Okay, so we're talking about tension, capacity, and prosperity. So it's interesting how the Bible will throw things in and you could easily pass it by. But as I was reading Proverbs the other day, Proverbs 10, verse 3. Look at it. It says, the Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desire of the wicked. It's interesting, just so you understand, if you have a spirit-filled Bible, it actually has a little write-up there. We often think of the soul as that one, you know, your soul, your spirit side, soul side. When they were writing this in the Hebrew, the soul was actually your entirety. So it's your body, it's your mind, it's all of that. And so here you have a scripture, and it says, the Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish. How many love that? How many can get behind a scripture like that? Like that can become a promise to you, right? The Lord will not let my soul famish. So I want you to put that over here. This is the tension, okay? The tension is that the Lord just gave us a promise. He will not let our soul famish. Now read on. It's interesting, the next two verses. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, and the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in the summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in the harvest is a son who causes shame. It's very interesting that he just promised us that he's not going to let us famish. And he follows it up with two scriptures that I would put over here about, now go do something. See, this is the tension. Sometimes I find in the church, we get really caught up on this side. But the Lord promises me. The Lord promises. And it's true. He promises. But I feel like, and you have to forgive me, I have to find, I guess I feel it internally and I'm working through it. But I really feel like the Hebrew people, when they said, Lord, bless me, I believe they often had their hands in front of them because they realized the Lord was about to bless them through their hands, through creative ideas. And I feel like the pendulum, you know, the pendulum never seems to stop in the middle, right? It always swings over. Sometimes we're over here and we're pulling on this side so strong that we think it's all promises, all promises, all promises. Yet we don't realize that there's a whole other side that he's like, what did he say? He says, he who has a slack hand becomes poor. But Lord, you just said that you would never famish my soul. And remember, John talks about the health of our soul will lead to prosperity. And so you have over here, he's like, yes, you're right. Now I'm going to give you the strength and the ability and the creative ideas to go work, to go harvest. It's hand in hand. It's the tension. And there are moments that you have to lean over here because even though you're doing all that over there, you have to lean over here, don't you? You have to pull a little harder on this side because you're doing all that, but you still have to be, Lord, you promised that I would not perish. You promised, right? When you get sick sometimes, even though you've done everything right, you're pulling a little more on this side and you're creating that tension because you promised, Lord. But we also have to remember there's times when we got to promise and remind ourselves, but we got to get to work. Turn to Romans. Somebody just shut it out. We might as well go there. Find Romans. This is a great one. Pastor Rod was kind of alluding to it last week. Gotta find it myself. Turn everybody at Romans. You beat me already. Romans 5. Tim, would you mind opening this? So if I open that with one hand, there'd be tension. And then there'd be a problem. Look at Romans 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. How are you saved? By faith. Your receiving Jesus Christ by faith is how you get saved. You can't work yourself into salvation, right? You can't go, meaning you can't go and do enough things to earn the Lord's favor. You can't go and clean yourself up enough. It doesn't matter how well you live your life. You could be the most, you know, live the law to the most perfect extent, but in the eyes of God, it still falls short. It says, all have fallen short of the glory of the Lord. It's impossible. So that's why he comes, he sends his son, dies on the cross, because there's only one way, and it's through Jesus Christ. So you put that over here. We are saved by faith. Now turn to James. That's awesome. All right, everybody at James? Me too. Pastor Rod, I lost it. Shout it out. James 2, verse 18. Thank you, Pastor Rod. 2, verse 18 says, 2, verse 18 says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God and you do well, and it goes on. It's interesting that James really is strong with your faith. So people are over here, I'm saved by faith, and it's all faith, it's all faith, it's all faith. And we know that. But there's a side that says we also have to understand that it's what we do after we're saved with our faith. Verse 22. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You got these two things simultaneously going on. I'm getting the signs, Pastor Rod. So you have this understanding that we're saved by faith. It's 100% by faith, but James makes it really strong that what are you going to do with your faith? What are you going to do with your faith? Because he's all about, well, show me with your faith. Don't just say you're saved. Do something with it. So what does that create? Tension. This tension is that we understand that we are not saved because of what we do on this side, but we do it because of what happens on that side. And we can't, because the church can fall into this place where we do nothing because it's all just faith. Right? You following me? Yeah. International House of Prayer, IHOP, not the pancake place. It was interesting. For many years, they were a house of prayer, International House of Prayer, for years. And then at one point, they realized that they had only one side to the equation, because they would pray and they would pray and they would pray. And I want you to understand that that's on this side. There's this tension of prayer, 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 prayer. But then they realized at some point they needed to put actions to their prayers. And so they created a ministry where they began to do out of their prayers. So often I think the pendulum gets stuck on one side or the other. And the Lord's been putting on my heart this idea that we have to increase our capacity for what the Lord has in store for us. Yeah. And the only way to begin to do that is to begin to make sure that we balance both sides. So I believe we are a house of prayer. You know, we actually have to begin to increase our prayer. And thank you, Mary, for taking that on, that, you know, there's so much to pray for that we have extended our prayer time on Friday. And I love that. I love that they have a heart to pray. Now, if you have ever known Mary and the team, but I just want to honor Mary, how many know that Mary just doesn't pray all day? Because she's also the same one with paintbrushes. She serves, she helps, she blesses. And I love that. I love the fact, you know, I love the fact that our, even this coming conference, our prayer team will be back there and they're often the same team that's upstairs in the kitchen. They're simultaneously doing things. I love that. But if we're going to become the mighty ones that God has called us to be, we need to begin to understand that we have to find a balance in that tension. Now, like I showed you with that red string, you wouldn't let alone try to walk across it. You may try to walk across this one if the tension was right. But how many know, have you ever seen the steel girders that used, not girders, it's like rope, but it's steel, for the Ambassador Bridge? Have you ever looked at those things? They're massive. And those are the things that they create tension with for that bridge. So if we're people and we could go from here in the kingdom, and if we had the ability to become those steel rope, for lack of a better word, how many would want to become that? I certainly don't want to stay here in the kingdom. Like, this is a nice step, but if I can choose to be one of those ironclad rod ropes that create, like, you think about it, the trucks that drive over that. We don't even want to have Tim start telling us he works at customs. Like, the amount of weight, Tim, do you even know the amount of weight that would be on there? But you're a C. You have all these numbers inside of you. That's a good thing, isn't it? So if you're on there and it is, some customs officer lost track. 22, what? 9, 8, oh. But the reality is these huge, huge things that create this tension, think about the capacity that that bridge can hold. So why is that? So we want to grow and we want to have tension that we can create the capacity to be able to hold more. So let me put it into practical terms. The tension in a service is you're here. That's wonderful. I'm so glad you showed up. But what are you doing while you're here? It's not enough to just come into a service. The tension's created. Well, I'm here and, you know, I don't feel like worshiping today. My life is falling apart. The tension is, but even though all that's going on, I'm going to move from this level to this level because I know that's key for my life. And that does create tension, because how many know you don't feel like worshiping in those moments? Anybody want to admit that? When your life is falling apart and you haven't slept and your kids threw up 14 times, it's the last thing you want to necessarily sing is, you are good, because you're thinking about, I still smell like puke. But there are real moments like that. But the Bible talks about this ability to enter the sacrifice of praise, where you bypass all that and begin to go, Lord, but you are still good. You are still good. Although my kids may be sick right now, I thank you that I have my kids. Like, this is moving from one level of Christianity to a whole nother level. And the reason why people can become these, like, oh my gosh, they're amazing, it's because they choose to embrace the tension that many run away from. And we have to embrace that tension. Like, you know, we often joke, my wife grew up in a family that didn't communicate. Like, their family did not communicate. It's really funny how bad they communicate. So when I married Krista, I'm a communicator. I'm a verbal processor. I just talk. We talk it through. 1,000 words to get to one. Talk about tension. And I remember the first time we had a serious argument, I pinned her down. I didn't hurt her. I sat on her. Okay, so she... Because she did not know how to communicate. So the first sign of tension in a room, like the Armley family, we live in conversational tension. Where our spouses, we're like, why are you guys fighting? We're not fighting, we're talking. We're having a conversation. This is amazing. It's family time. Any other Italians like that? We're not Italian, but it's just like the energy in the room. And but for her family, anything like that, everybody shuts down. So we're having an argument, and I pin her down. I'm like, we got to talk about it. So throughout our 22 years now, almost 22 years of being married, how many, like, we've had to grow in that tension. And we've gotten a lot better at it. How many know that it's just actually not my way? It would be easy to say, you just got to listen to me verbal process. But we've had conversation sometimes after we get through the moment. She's like, you just need to give me a little bit of time to process. I don't process like you do. Because I'm like, let's just deal with it now. She's like, I got to think through this. How many thinkers do we have in the room? Like, you got to think through it. Okay. Now, if you're just out of curiosity, if you're married and you're the exact opposite, raise your hand. Oh, yeah, look at that. See, opposites attract. Because we need each other. There are times where it's like, no, hon, we got to actually talk about this right now. And there's other times, because I've learned to embrace that tension, and so has she, I've got to learn to go, okay, I just need to shut up right now. All I'm doing, and she's good to go, you just need to shut up right now. See, 22 years of tension. But it's enough to be able to go, okay, if I keep talking about it, all I'm doing is making it worse. But because we've talked about it, I know she's going to come back and talk to me about it. Right? But we've grown our capacity to communicate in that tension. Are you getting me? But if we run from it because we're hurt, we miss the opportunity to be able to grow. It's the same with love. Because on one side is love, right? But if you embrace love, how many know that you're going to sometimes embrace pain too? You can't get away from it, because love brings sometimes some horrible situations. If you have children and you've gone through those things where it's just heart-wrenching, and I'm not talking about death, I'm just talking about situations that are hard and difficult, or you watching your child just maybe fail at something, or it's heart-wrenching, but love says, I'm going to embrace that tension, because if I walk away from it, I'm going to miss something. I'm saddened by the fact that there are so many divorces today. That's just sad to begin with, but you know what I'm saddened by? How many walk away from the tension that leads to something beautiful? Because we get married, think it's going to be perfect. And then on your honeymoon, you begin to realize this may not be true. When I do marriage counseling, I so try to tell them that there are going to be things that are going to drive you crazy. And they're like, nothing's going to drive me crazy. I'm so in love. And then you talk about, do you squeeze the toothpaste from the top or the bottom? And then, you know, sure enough, the couple's like, well, I just grab it anywhere. And the other one's like, no, I squeeze it from the bottom. But it won't matter. It's going to be beautiful. And then 6 months in, they come back. He's driving me crazy. Why can he not just push it from the bottom? Why is it so? And it's a simple thing. But you know what? After 16 years of that, right? Just get your own. See? Solve the problem. Run away from the tension. Get your own. That's awesome. Get your own. What do you do with the husband if he's like, well, just get another one. Get your own. But you know what? It could be other simple things, but so many can't embrace the tension and talk about it that they just divorce. But if you ask any married couple here that's been married for a long time, they will tell you the hard times they went through, but they will tell you the beautiful times that it created. Because tension and working through it creates those times. It creates the capacity for us to be able to love more, communicate more, help more. I think of Lazarus and your capacity that has grown over the years because of what you have embraced. It's incredible. Did you know that when you work out and you're building muscle, because we all, the capacity is like building a muscle, right? And when you work out, you literally are tearing your muscle. How many realize this? It's like, oh my gosh. Yeah, you tear your muscle just a little bit, protein comes in and rebuilds it, and that's why your muscle slowly grows bigger and bigger. But it's the capacity, it's that tension, literally the tension that creates it. Well, we want right now to be able to take the tension and create bigger people. So what does that look like? Why am I saying all this? Because we started this in September. We are called to be mighty ones. We are called to train up mighty ones. Some of you are all of you are incredible, but I think of people in here that I look at your life and what you've embraced and the pain and the joy and all that, and we have so much to learn from you. But you know what? We've got babes that are coming in. Tell your neighbor, we've got babes that are coming in. Now, wait a minute. If you're young here and you're like, whoa, we've got babes coming in. That's not what I meant. All of a sudden, there's a lot more young men in our church. Embrace the tension. That's not quite what I meant. What I meant was babies in the Lord. They're going to come in and they're not going to know anything. And we have the privilege of creating mighty ones. But did you know that your example is going to help create mighty ones? I don't know about you. Sometimes I can't even personally remember what I preached last Sunday. So if I preach it and I can't always remember my points, how would you? So there's this thing called a notebook. But I'm serious. If we're going to be mighty ones that really begin to bring the kingdom out, and listen, okay, the tension is, oh, there's so many I wrote down for tension. You know, on this side, we just want to be Spirit-led. Can't we just be Spirit-led? Can't we just flow by the Spirit? And on this side, we have those that just want to be organized. Like, can't we just be organized? Do you know that creates tension? And that, you know, like, do we really need to grow in the foundations of the Lord? Can't we just have the Holy Spirit? You know, do we really need leadership? Spirit will show us all things. Yeah, that works out well. Freedom. All these things go in my head. Freedom. How many want freedom? Oh, I love freedom. How many know if you've ever had kids and you give them freedom, you better have some boundaries on that end? They go hand in hand, don't they? Freedom is not lack of boundaries. It's the tension within it, right? You have this room with these stuffed animals. You have total freedom to have fun. But I want to go in the kitchen with knives. No, that's not freedom. Here's your boundaries. It's this constant tension that we live in. Freedom, but we don't want lawlessness, right? So back to prosperity. Why does it all relate to prosperity? Because I believe over the next year, the Lord's going to give us things that we need to dive into. We need to study. I'm so thankful that a lot of you took the courses. Because as your soul prospers, so will you. You can't just come to church and hope everything gets better. Church is like spiritual school in so many ways. And it's the people that take it. Like, okay, so you take notes. That's the first step. How many read your notes some other time during the week? That's the next step. How many take those notes that you've read and somehow find a way to apply them? Everybody's like, You know how many sermons you've listened to in a lifetime already? Anybody listen to podcasts throughout the week? All these things that we listen to. The Lord convicted me the other day because I love to read. I love podcasts. I listen to things. I love audiobooks. And he convicted me because he said, you love to do that. But he said, you know, if you took one chapter and put it into practice, it would change your life. Yeah, it is ouch because there's tension. Because you could get all the knowledge in the world and never do a thing with it. You could take one key thing and make it your life purpose to get better at it, and it'll change your whole life. You could do that in your marriage. You could do that with your children. We live in a day today where the tension is we have information coming at us all the time. So the tension is, what do we do with all this? What I want to encourage you to do, and I asked you to do this 2 weeks ago, and I don't know how many did it. What's one thing that you're going to increase your capacity with this year? What if we all pick that one thing? You have one word. What if that's that one thing? And that's what you focused in all year. See, that's what I believe Paul was saying with run the race. That's what I believe he's like, we are like athletes. You realize that he used terms like, we are athletes running a race, and it's those that are diligent to run this race. Paul was not so spiritual that he was completely ignorant. I believe he was also a brilliant man. How many believe that? Because if you look at his life before he became a Christian, he was a very high-level leader and brilliant. I also, you know, sometimes we equate the disciples like these people. They got no teeth and they're back hillbillies. And I don't believe that. I believe the disciples were actually very high caliber people. He picked them to be part of his team, but he also trained them. I think Peter was just quick with his mouth and had to be trained just like all of us. You want to talk about tension? Do a study on disciples actually hated each other. He put people together that would hate each other. Seriously. Zealots and, you know, people that are so strict on the law and other people that are not. And he's, let's put this together in a room and let's see what happens. Let's create some tension. Pastor Rod and I will get together in a room and we'll talk about designs and different things. And you can feel some tension forming in the room. But you know what I've learned? That's a good, did you point at me like it was me? You just did. No, he was like, yeah, the tension. But you know what I've discovered? That if I only have people in my room that think like I do, I'm not going to get the best thing. I'm not going to get the best idea. So even though that tension's building and we've learned to communicate, it's like, okay, what are you seeing that I don't? I'm frustrated right now. He's frustrated right now. Okay, let's stop. What are we missing here? Why do we have this frustration? See, there's 5 minutes left. I'm creating tension with the children's ministry because, you know, they like to be done by 12. But the preachers love to go long. Because it's a spiritual moment. Tension. So church, this is my challenge. I didn't even have a chance to go into. You can turn to Ephesians and I'm going to share one thing. Maybe we'll go into it another day. Let me sum it up with this. We're crying out for things right now. Personally, I'm crying out for things for our youth conference. I'm crying out for things with our church. I believe that Forge is going to be a key element in reaching our community. It's going to take us, though, to make it happen. I sat with, had the privilege of going over into Detroit and sat with Drew Neal and Dano. How many remember Dano McCullum? You know, we had dinner together. And I began to share all that's on my heart. Because at times I'm a little nervous because it's so different. You know what I mean? I want to see revival, but he said it this way. He says, brother, so I shared a little bit. Let me set the context. I shared some ideas. And he says, brother, I lived through revival. He said, revival was glorious. We had services every night. People got touched and saved. And he said, I never want to do it again. Interesting. He said, my core values are over here now. You talk about tension. That could bring tension in the room. Because he realized in that season, marriages suffered. Families suffered. How crazy. You got these glorious things happening over here, and you've got these challenges happening over here. And he said, we are in a new season and a new era. And we have to bring the kingdom out there because they're not going to flood in here. So as I shared all the different ideas, the Forge, and different things we want to go, he just looked at me and he said, oh my gosh, that is so kingdom. I love it. And it was good to my heart because sometimes you feel like you're stepping out going, oh my gosh, what are we doing? In Matthew, we don't have time to go there, and then we'll go to Ephesians. If you're not sure with this message, think about the parable of the talents. There's tension in that story, isn't there? You've got the one that receives, let's say, 10, the other receives 5, the other receives 2. And sometimes we want to steward it so we don't do anything with it because we're afraid of making a mistake. So we hide it. And then you have the 10 that goes out and he multiplies it. He takes it and does something with it. He doesn't just sit with it. It's like, I've just been given something. I'm going to do something with it. I might even get it wrong, but I'm going to do something with it. You've got the 5 that's like, I'm going to do something with the 5 that I've been given. I'm so excited I got 5, right? I'm going to do something with my 5. Maybe I can't sing like somebody else can sing, but I can sing a little bit. I'm going to become the best singer, worshiper in the pulpit. Or not the pulpit, sorry, the pew. I'm just going to, you know, maybe I can't do all those things, but I'm talking church context now. But man, I'm going to be the best greeter. When people come in, they're going to feel the love of God through me. I'm going to grow my capacity to love. And so when they come in, they're going to be loved by me. Some of you have the ability, and I love it, like the decorating ability, or some of you are like me, like tables. You set up the tables, and you got to make sure they're all straight. It's amazing, that gift. I love that gift. It's like me. Danny Silk, I love the me in you. I love it. Yeah, sign up. See Shelly. But you know the person, again, the tension that's like, can we just throw the tables up anywhere? I love it that way. And the person's like, no, no, straight line. You're like one tile off. One tile off. So what are we doing with what we've been given? Because I think we've been given a huge amount, both personally and corporately. And the Lord is saying, will you increase your capacity to do more? Now, the beautiful thing is that doesn't mean every night. That just simply means when these doors are open or when you go to your work, I'm going to be the best that I can be so I can touch lives. And it takes listening to sermons and taking notes and revisiting those notes and then going, what will I do with what I've been given? You missed that. See, this is the tension. You want me to take notes? Yeah, I want you to take notes. So when new people come in, they can see you taking notes and go, maybe that's the culture I should be a part of. Now I've taken notes. Now I'm going to study them during the week because I'm so good or Rod's so good. No, but this is your house where things are being given to you from this house that affect us in this house. You guys getting to me? Okay. So then you look at these notes and you're like, okay, I looked at them. Now what am I going to do with them? How do I apply them to my life? Because we want to grow our capacity to love. And please understand me. I think you guys are doing amazing, but I think there's more. I think there's more. End with this, Ephesians. One last thing with tension. Ephesians 1. Love this verse. We've talked about it many times. This is Paul praying, Ephesians 17. This is what he prays, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Did you know those are both? That's tension. Have you ever seen somebody that had revelation and went and did something that they shouldn't have done? Like, seriously? Have you ever seen somebody that's all wisdom and never did anything with their revelation? It's tension. So you can listen to sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon and never have the wisdom to do something with it. But you could have wisdom, 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 and never grow that there's revelation to do something with. So we want to be a people that can grow our capacity so we can do more in the kingdom. In the end, when I stand before God, I do not want to be up there when he says there is so much. I believe the gnashing of teeth, one of the things that we're going to see is what could have been. I really believe that. And I don't want to sit there. One of the things that I've been going after for 2 years, I don't want to sit there and see all the things that could have been and simply went, it's all because I was afraid to move forward or I didn't do something with what I knew to do. That grieves me just thinking about it. That I didn't move forward because of my fear. That's the tension, right? The fear. I want to be able to go, you know what? Fear doesn't stand a chance. Because your love is crushing things. nor do I want to be one that goes, but I put that on your heart for you to do something with. I put that on your heart to study. I put that on your heart to show you approve that you would go after it, and I didn't do it. Now, again, I don't feel condemned. I feel called. I feel like that he's longing for me because he's not showing me what it's going to do, but he wants me to study because if I study, then he'll reveal. Does that make sense? It's like he's not going to show me the end. He just wants to invite me into a study. He wants to invite me into research. Maybe it's whatever it would be. Maybe it's going after a revelation, a specific thing, because if I do, there's something on the other side of it. But so often we leave it and we need to pick those things back up. Amen. Please stand. So much tension in the body of Christ. I believe the day is coming. You ever sat with somebody from another church and there was tension? You guys are so holy, you're like, no, never. The Lord's going to grow our capacity to be able to sit with people and love them. Because you know what? We don't have everything right. Turn to your neighbor and go, we don't have everything right. I believe we got some things right. We got some things right, but you know what? Some of them have some things right too. And oftentimes we don't like that tension, so we either shut down or try to prove that we're right. Instead of going, Holy Spirit, what do you want to show me right now? Like there's some denominations I don't agree with 100%. But there's some things that they have right that I'm like, I can still glean from that. Like, man, you guys do family well. Man, I want to glean from that. But did you know that you need Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You can glean from me too. So, Father God, we thank you for today. Gosh, I thank you, Lord, that there are going to be, I think we're already at almost 170. We're pushing close to 200 registrations for Awaken. That's beautiful. And these kids, youth, young adults are coming. It's going to produce a little attention because their feet might be dirty. And they may not do things the way we do things, but Lord, we're going to love on them because our capacity to love is growing more and more. I thank you that we're going to have the privilege of leading them into encounters. I thank you, Lord, encounters are going to happen in the forge and in the foyer and in the prayer room and in the fellowship hall. There is going to be encounter after encounter and lives are going to be changed. So Lord, we just ask in 2019, you would expand our capacity to love. You would expand our capacity to give. You would expand our capacity to learn. That Father God, you would come in here and we would be those that eat up what you have. That we would not let it fall to the ground, but we would take it and we would run with it. We wouldn't be afraid to run with it, but we would run with it. I thank you, Lord. And so Lord, we just say thank you for all that you're doing. We thank you for all that you're doing, and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.